This begins Paul's remarkable life as a Christian. He's blinded to experience the power of God, for one thing, and to prevent him from getting distracted. He's in darkness, and the Holy Spirit is working on his spirit, because he's going to get up from here and go into Damascus and pray in darkness, blind, until Ananias comes. And Ananias went in, entered the house, laying his hands on him, he said, "Saul, my brother, this is the man who came to put him in jail. And now he knows that he's a brother. Saul, my brother, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way which you came, that you might make, you know, the Lord has sent me, this Jesus, who appeared to you on the way by which you came, that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, the next day, you see, he stayed some days with the disciples in Damascus, and he began at once to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. When he received his sight, physically, can you imagine what he received spiritually? He was on his way there to take those people and put them in jail for believing in Jesus. And now, a few hours later, he himself is proclaiming and knowing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. What a grace. What a grace of conversion that man had, huh? The gospel, we're moving on now. We're starting the last section. We still have quite a few verses to go. There's 70 something in this, and we're going to be finishing on 59 today. But now the text is about eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of Man. How would they understand that? How would he, you know, our Lord is certainly challenging them and giving them the grace to grasp it. And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. In the scriptures, wisdom is portrayed as food and drink many times. It's what sustains us. And now that which sustains us is the very flesh and blood of the Son of God. And that's what this text is telling us. Huh? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Now, there's two dimensions to this eating and drinking. First is faith. When we come here and receive this Eucharist, are we making acts of faith? I believe that this is really your body and this is really your blood, transformed by the Holy Spirit, raised up to the glory of the divinity, and now by the power of that same Spirit here present in this bread and wine. Now, in the West, we have what they call the epiklesis, the calling down the Spirit to transform this bread and wine. We have it before the account of the institution. When I put my hands over the gifts, huh? In the East, they have it after. And they finally say, you know, send down your blessed Holy Spirit and change this bread into the body, change this blood into the cup, into the wine, into the blood, rather. changing them by your Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, amen. And everybody prostrates. So, but the heart of this is what? Jesus wants to feed us in a way much more profoundly than a mother wants to nurse her child. He wants to give us his body and blood to feed us. This is always a wonderful time of year because every day for several days we're reflecting on this mystery of the Eucharist. And that's why we have today. You see, unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. Yes, his flesh will corrupt, but it will be raised again. And he said these things, teaching in Capernaum. If you get a chance today, read that text, ponder it, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a much deeper living experiential faith regarding the mystery of the Eucharist.